Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It is Niall and Andrea talking about music topics. And today's music topic is particularly close to a lot of people's hearts. It's a person that we don't really hear talk of a lot in the world of music, in Irish music, really, do we? I don't know. Do we? Do we talk about one of the Ireland's most successful musicians? Of all time, the biggest selling Irish solo artist and biggest overall behind U2. Who could we be talking about?
If it's not Bono, I don't know who we could possibly
80 million plus albums sold.
It's Enya. Of course it's Enya. We're talking about Enya. It's her birthday. It was her birthday this week. Happy birthday, Enya. We know she's a big fan of the show. So big shout out to her. Thanks for listening. Happy birthday. 60th birthday, is that right?
60th birthday Enya was this week. So we thought we'd take a... we need to talk about Enya. We need to talk about Enya because she doesn't really get enough kudos, but she has been getting kudos recently and in the last number of years. And we're going to talk about that and I'm going to address that. It's a reappraisal of sorts for Enya here. It's become a very popular thing to talk about Enya, especially for a lot of American artists for some reason. A very particular strand of American independent artists. But also, as we'll talk about, there's loads of other artists out there. Loads of people who've talked about Enya as an influence, and some surprising, some not. Etna Patricia Brennan, Etna Ni Brennan. We will get into a bit later on about, you know, this artist who lives on a hill in Dalkey in a castle, and the 80 million plus albums she has sold in the last, whatever it is, 34 years, 38 years. She is one of the biggest artists in the entire world and is actually still doing it. And it's 8 solo albums. And as recently as, 2019, I think she's been releasing. She released something last year. She releases albums all the time. And they do really, really well. So it's time. It's time we talked a bit more about one of Ireland's great treasures, and there's no way better way to start that by playing this for you. Let me say it.
Thank you.
Why, of course, that is Orinoco Flow. What else could it be? One of the finest examples, most famous example of Enya's work over the years. That is from her second album, Watermark, her breakthrough album, which was her second studio album. We're going to get into a lot of that later on about...
You know, that music video is one of my earliest memories, is of that being on the TV.
It is. Yeah. I'd say for a lot of Irish people, it is absolutely...
I think I really liked it because I really liked looking at when they did the art and stuff on the den. And yeah. I was like, oh, this is art, but there's like a lady in it. What? Can you be among the art? That's amazing.
Watercolor painting kind of style. You know,
I watched it today. Crazy. It still stands up. It's an unbelievable video. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's amazing. I have... for you, because I think with Enya, especially as Irish people, we've kind of a funny relationship with Enya. We're deeply protective of her. Like people from other countries aren't allowed to slag her, but we all sort of have this odd relationship with her where we absolutely adore her. But for a long time, it was sort of I don't know if you ever found this, but it was sort of she was a bit of a meme or something, or she was a bit of a kind of a guilty pleasure for a lot of people. People would be like, oh, I'm going to get in the bath and drink my wine and listen to Enya. And
yeah, she became short.
There's actually just nothing wrong with doing that, I would say, at all. That's not something that needs to be a joke, or you don't need to be embarrassed by doing that. We don't know that much about her. We only really know the things about her that she wants us to know. So I put together a little timeline, very short, just to kind of catch people up as to what she's been doing from the moment she was born to now. And it's just a little cliff notes on who Enya is. Okay, so on the 17th of May, 1961, a child is born. That child's name is Enya. Jump forward to 1964, Enya, age 3, enters her first singing competition. I don't know if she won. I don't think she did. I think that would have been in the article. 1978, she leaves school at the age of 17 to study classical music for a year in the hopes of becoming a music teacher. 1980, she leaves college.
She definitely gives music teacher vibes, doesn't she?
She does, yeah. Or art teacher, or kind of SPHE teacher that you can go to with your problems. Like, she'd give you a note to say out of class. Like, 1980, she leaves college, joins the family band, Clannad, managed by Nicky Ryan, who would go on to become her longtime collaborator. 1982, during a tour of Switzerland with the group, Nicky was out of the project, gone, and Enya decides to go with him. She sold her saxophone to get some cash to help set up a studio with Nicky and Roma Ryan. Shoot forward to 1983, she performs at the National Stadium in Dublin for RTÉ's music show Festival Folk. A musician who worked with her at the time said, quote, she was so nervous she could barely get on stage and she cowered behind the piano until the gig was over. Off the back of a tape that was kind of sent around to some film studios, she then got the job to score the film The Frog Prince, which I think is a romantic comedy. I've never seen it. Mm. Have you seen it? Do you know it?
No, not that film, but... is it like the Disney one? Is it like the same story? Then it is kind of, you know.
I don't know, to be honest. And then we're going into the late 80s then. She starts getting commissioned by various TV and film studios to kind of compose work for TV and film. She records music for a BBC show called The Celts. And that would form the guts of her self-titled debut record in 1987. So the self-titled album reaches number 8 in the Irish albums chart and number 69 in the UK albums chart. And then in, I have written here 80 and 87, but I'm assuming that's wrong.
be forgiven for thinking that.
Yeah. She starts work on her second record, Watermark, which is the breakout. That went on to have absolutely massive success. This is the record where Orinoco Flow, and that went to number 1 in the UK. That the song went to number 1 in the UK despite Enya sort of suggesting that being the single on the record as a bit of a joke, because it's a record that she thought kind of had no singles, or, you know, she wasn't setting out to make pop music. And then she pretty much became Enya, you know, like then it was pretty much stardom. The next album was Shepherd Moons in 1991. And around this time, the debut record was re-released, and then that charted in the top 10 in the UK, where it got to number 69 before when it was originally released. She travelled for a bit to fund the next record, which was The Memory of Trees. And then there was a fifth album in 2000 called The Day Without Rain. That one sold a lot after Only Time was used in a lot of footage surrounding the September 11th attacks in New York. Mm. And the song became something of kind of a soundtrack to that. And then in 2001, she wrote and performed two songs for The Lord of the Rings, May It Be and Aniron, which is the theme for Aragorn and Arwen. May It Be was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Song, but it lost out to what?
Oh, I actually saw this yesterday, but I cannot remember already.
It's not something that I would expect people to know. It lost out to a song called If I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc.
Right.
But Howard Shore did win Best Score that year. And I think that was the year when basically The Lord of the Rings just won the Oscars, and it was a good year. And then the seventh album came in 2008. That's called And Winter Came. And then there was a really long extended break for Enya, and fair play. She didn't release the next album until 2015. That one was called Dark Sky Island, and that's based on the island of Sark, which is a dark sky preserve, which I think means there's no lights allowed and you can look at stars there. And since then, we haven't had an album. But that is your cliff notes on what has happened with Enya so far.
Those eight albums have sold that many, 80 plus million albums. And I saw a quote from Warner Music chairman Rob Dickens, who's actually mentioned by name in Orinoco Flow, if you look at the lyrics. He said of signing Enya way back, sometimes the company is there to make money and sometimes it's there to make music. Enya's the latter. So I kind of liked that. But I mean, we'll get into a bit more about like the setup and the production and like how Enya got to where she is now and how she's considered one of these finest artists in, you know, like and a crossover artist and a cross-generational artist as well. But I wanted to like specifically something that started happening maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I noticed it at the first, and a lot of artists, American artists, were name-checking Enya as an influence. I mean, most recently, I know you're a fan of this, Andrea, Way's Blood, and her music. And there's a great article called Enya is Everywhere by Jen Pelly, one of Liz Pelly used to be an intern over this way a while back. And her twin sister, Jen, wrote a great piece on Enya and chatted to Wise Blood about it. And Natalie Mehring is Wise Blood. And she said when she was coming up, she would play Enya for male artists she was with and try and convince them that like Enya was brilliant, basically. And she went on to say, Enya's a drone artist. She's like the most mainstream noise artist there ever was. But the connection would also always elude the men that she was playing with because they just didn't see what the deal was. And she talks specifically about a song called Generation Y, which I'll play here for a second. So that kind of choral effect that you can hear there is very much associated with Enya. We'll get into the specific characteristics as well later on. But, you know, another artist who has referenced Enya as an influence is FKA Twigs. On her most recent album, Magdalene, she said that the opening song, Thousand Eyes, was heavily inspired by Enya.
If you don't pull me back, it wakes a thousand times. If I walk out the door, it starts our last goodbye. If you
So another artist that worked on that album, Magdalene, with FKA Twigs is Daniel Lopatin, aka 10tricks.never. And from Jen Pelly's article in Pitchfork, he was interviewed about Enya's influence. And he said he was only 6 years old in the late 80s when he first saw Enya on television performing Boda Chia in the studio, her hands on the Roland Juno 6 keyboard, and had an epiphany. It was the same synth his dad had in the basement and used for his gigs. But when I saw Enya playing on VH1, it created this really powerful rift in my mind. There are things that are possible with that instrument that are magical. That's the origin of my creativity. It's not simply that she's making pretty stuff, he says. She's mastered the art of making a very gentle, quiet thing sound absolutely ferocious. And, you know, they...
That's
like
a lovely way to describe
yeah,
the music.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a great quote. And another artist who is being quoted, and you can hear her here, talking about Enya as an influence. It's a surprising one. It is Nicki Minaj, and here she is talking to Stephen Colbert about her influence.
Do you have a form of music you listen to? Like, you have an artist you listen to that might surprise people?
I do, and every time I tell people this, they think I'm kidding, but I love Enya. I listen to her the most out of everyone. Yeah. So
that is about as far away from rap as I can imagine a popular art form being.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? It's so peaceful, and it helps me with like harmonies and just like sounds and stuff. So when I go in there, I don't like, I'm not a singer, but I'm a rapper, so I don't like to call people singers in to come and do like harmonies and backgrounds. So I just tap into my Enya knowledge, and I do
your
my little
harm.
My inner Enya.
Mm-hmm. She's like an elf.
I know.
Yeah, she's otherworldly. She's otherworldly. Yeah.
So yeah, that's Nicki Minaj talking about Enya. Other artists who have mentioned and who have been noted as sound alike for Enya has been the likes of Julia Halter, Grimes, her perfume genius, Juliana Barwick, and The Weeknd is a noted fan as well, surprisingly. And as you mentioned there, like Enya's song Only Time has actually been used a lot over the years. It came out in 2000. It was associated with 9/11, but it also got a new life on TikTok in recent years as a kind of a meme song. So here is a bit of that song. You may have heard it on TikTok.
Who can say where the road goes, where the day flows? Can say if your love grows as your heart shows only time.
Can I ask, sorry, what way is it memed? What sort of meme is Only Time used in?
Oh, it's context? I mean, it's just in a TikTok context. It's used
like, is it a kind of a 1,000-yard stare? Hello,
yeah,
darkness, my
it can be used for
of
loads of different things. It can be used as like, you know, what would be, how would you describe it? Like somebody's, you know, the Hulk walking down the road kind of thing, or
okay,
you know, right. Like something. It could be like denoting sadness, denoting loneliness, denoting you know, that anything that some it's happening to me again, or you know, you're staring out the window. It could be anything, really. I mean, it's a very versatile song for that.
The spectrum of human emotion,
pretty much. I mean, that's Enya for you.
I'm happy the kids are discovering that song.
Yeah, why not? One of the other, I just wanted to play this because it was one of the first things I thought of. A noted music fan, Alan Partridge, is also an Enya fan. Here he is from his show.
Sail away, sail away, sail away. Sail away, sail away. Oh, sorry. I'm not saying you.
Pump number three.
Good pump. Yeah, that is Alan Partridge talking to Sweaty Raphael, his old school teacher. So there's a lot of artists who have name-checked Enya there. And I think is really interesting there is that a lot of them are American, and you don't really hear a lot of Irish artists really talking about Enya. I mean, maybe because we still don't think it's cool, and you know, Enya is an otherworldly thing. But is she also why is she resonating with these artists? And I think a lot of this has to do with the sound of the music. What Enya's music sounds like. At the time when it came out, you know, it was called New Age and very, you know, kind of interesting, New Agey kind of music. And but now, like, if you go back and listen to that, a lot of what Enya was doing back in when she started and the defining sounds of Enya are actually, you know, they're very current. They're like dream pop, ambient music, that kind of choral stuff. It's very an electronic production wrapped up in modern production. So here's like, I mean, let's play Caribbean Blue for an example, right? So this is, you know, one of Enya's big songs. It's called Caribbean Blue, and you can hear the tones in this and how it like sounds so modern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was Caribbean Blue from her 1991 album Shepherd Moons, as you mentioned earlier on, Andrea. So yeah, very dreamy pop, a lot of ambience in there, but very much like an electronic production as well. So, you know, if you think about it, like, there's a lot of music out there that's very much folk and electronic production matched together. Synthesizers is something that Enya, the music of Enya, used. And of course, like, the thing about Enya itself, it, like, herself, it's like, it's Enya's a band. It's Enya is the producer, Nicky Ryan, and the lyricist, his wife, Roma Ryan, and Enya, who do a lot of the melodies and also play a lot of the instruments. So it's an interesting thing, because there's actually three people involved in this, really. But she's the public face. She's Enya.
And it's funny that she's the public face, being, you know, considering how private she is. And yet she can kind of have this persona, I suppose.
You don't even know who the others, what the others really look like, you know. They bought a lot of equipment in the early 80s. And what's interesting about that is, you know, when the split happened from Clannad and between Clannad and Nicky Ryan, Enya decided, rather than, you know, stay with Clannad and stay with her family, she was like, I know I want to be a solo artist. I know I want to explore this other thing. So she actually did move into their house in Artane, which was, you know, very unique thing to do.
Do you know what happened with the split between Nicky Ryan and, because I couldn't really find anything about it. I saw online that there was a vote taken or something. But
yeah,
I think that can happen a lot with the split. I suppose it's just one of those kind of artistic differences.
I think that's it. I did read something yesterday that said, you know, at first there was a bit of animosity, but actually, like, it's all fine, and it has been fine for many years.
And I think, I mean, I was reading that Enya, as a child, she would spend a lot of her time indoors playing piano, and she remembers her siblings being outside and playing, and Enya very much being inside and very, very much spending a lot of time with her music, with her watercolors, learning Latin, which she really liked.
Yeah,
like, she does sound like
she's an indoor child.
And as a fellow indoor child, I like that. And she really just sounds like she's just straight out of some kind of, like, Regency era novel. Like, she's working on her, like, on her watercolors and, like, maybe her stitching and her Latin and just doing all this stuff. And it's like this little girl just up in Donegal. And
but she knew what she wanted. She moved in with Nicky and Roma in their home. Then in Artane, and to see what happens. And they obviously felt like there was something has transpired. It clearly has worked. But, you know, they didn't at first. Like, she was very convinced, because she sold her saxophone in order to pay for the bank denied them a loan. They were building a studio in the back garden called Eagle Studios, which is a French word for eagle, in the back garden in their house in Artane. And then, like, it's a big commitment. It's a big, big commitment. And so they felt like, you know, they had something, and they were right. And the other thing is that they must have spent money on a lot of synthesizers, which at the time, you know, they're very, very expensive. And very defining part of their sound as well, because, you know, her early works, if you look at, like, Watermark, the second album, feature numerous keyboards, Yamaha KX88, DX7, and Akai S900, Roland D50, and Roland Juno. They're not cheap, and they weren't cheap in the 80s. So, I mean, that must have been what the money was spent on, but they really used it well. But I'm going to play a song here from her 1987 debut to give you an idea of the kind of the electronic vibe of Enya's music. This is, like, from the Celts, right? So this is 1987. So have a listen to this. This is called Aldebaran.
I think after every song of Enya's that you're going to play, I'm going to read a comment from at Enya Comments on Twitter, which is a Twitter account that just collates comments under Enya YouTube videos. So for this one, I'm going to choose this one. Simply beautiful, 3 exclamation points. 0% porn, 0% drugs, 0% bad words, 100% talents, 100% legend. Thanks for comments.
Very good. Okay, well, that was kind of the electronic vibe of Enya. You can hear, I'm going to play a bit more here of a song called On My Way Home. This is from our fourth studio album, The Memory of Trees. On My Way Home from her fifth album from 1995. Yeah, and I think you can draw a line between the atmospheric kind of electronic folk of that and maybe how about one of like Ireland's greatest new bands in the last few years? How about something like Saint Sister? You can hear a bit of that kind of vibe there. So here's a bit of Saint Sister just to, for comparison, like just a little bit. And there's a slight bit of the same vibe here. So as you can hear there, you're getting that kind of choral, multi-tracked, multi-layered vocal thing that they had, that Enya had, and they were, like Nicky Ryan called that the chorus of one. There's apparently inspired by Phil Spector's wall of sound technique. So the multi-layer vocal was really like one of the main defining characteristics of Enya's music. And one of the others was, the fact that they had the big stabbing pizzicato strings and when strings are plucked with the instruments. And a good example of that is the song Echoes in Rain. So, you know, I mean, what you're hearing there is some very defining sounds and ones that have come back around. And I think with Enya, what's happened is that the sounds of New Age are very much the sounds of now. So, you know, when you're hearing Enya now, what you're really hearing is somebody who's actually ahead of their time. And, Jen Pelly's piece in Pitchfork addresses this as well. She says, I came to think of her like a Rosetta Stone for a particular thread of modern pop. Music that is slow and hypnotic and restorative, with operatic melancholy, solitary strength, and a discernibly feminine sense of craft. And I think, you know, the other part of all this is that genre walls have kind of come down. Hearing an artist like Enya is no longer like, oh, well, that's like new age music, whatever. It's like people don't judge things like that anymore. If they hear something they like, they kind of just add it to their playlist or they listen to it, they explore. And there's no barrier there. And the barrier to listen to Enya's music is very, like, she's often referenced. She was referenced in South Park, you know, she's been referenced a lot. She's a very well-known artist. She's one of the biggest selling artists of all time. So, you know, that explains why she can be such an influence. I'm going to play a bit of Even in the Shadows here, just also from Dark Sky Island from 2015, just to show you like how recent she's been making this music and how good it is.
Thank you.
sorry, Andrea, but that is Pitchfork Best New Music right there. That is that is Enya from 2015, from her album Dark Sky Island, Even in the Shadows. And I think one of the other reasons why Enya is such an inspiration is actually she's an inspiration for many women in the industry. She's a role model. She does her own thing. As Wiseblood told the Irish Times a couple of years ago, she's incredible. Enya is definitely underrated because she's so feminine. She's a completely uninhibited feminine force, a matriarchal force in music. She had so much success because of that distinctive sound, but because music people are obsessed with rock and roll drums, she doesn't get the attention she deserves. If you look at her record sales, she is, in my opinion, up there with the Beatles. And another thing that FK Twigg said back in the day was she's a mother like Bjork and Kate Bush. So there's definitely like a lot of comparisons there between herself and, you know, Kate Bush as well, obviously recorded in Women Lane as well. And there's a lot of comparisons there, you know, these kind of creative control, very fiercely independent artists and who can do what they want. And okay, so this is where I have a hot take around Enya, right? Because there's a lot of things that make sense here. I can see a lot of parallels that Enya is the Billie Eilish of the
1980s.
Okay. Right? Let me explain.
Is there a way of saying that where we don't say that Enya is the Billie Eilish of the 80s?
Maybe there is.
Maybe Billie Eilish is the Enya of today?
Yes. Okay, that's better. Yeah. That's better.
Feels better, I think.
Thanks, editor. Yeah. So Billie Eilish, but I want to talk about Enya. And why is Billie Eilish the Enya of now? Well, I mean, if you look at Enya's career, she kept a lot of creative control around her music. When she signed a label deal with Warner, her contract allowed her 3 years between each album. So that meant that she was allowed 3 years to make each album. And Warner Brothers said they tried to make her image more rock and roll, but she rejected it. You can see, you know, in the same way that Billie Eilish is allowed, does what she wants. And she keeps a small circle of collaborators. There's Enya, there's Nicky Ryan, the producer, and there's Roma Ryan, the lyricist. And that's it. And that's all they've ever really allowed people into their studio. Occasionally they've had a couple of people and play a couple of instruments, but no creative input, really. I think they've had a bass player definitely once, but very little outside interference. They don't collaborate. They don't talk to really any other artists.
And he's never done a Bond song.
Yeah, I mean, I think
she should do a Bond song.
Yeah.
I would like that very much to hear a new Bond song. Yeah, I take that point. I think
I just
also
see a lot of you know, close small circle of collaborators that she keeps, and that only them, like Billy and Phineas. The label don't interfere. They don't make her at the moment put guests on her albums and stuff like that. Like Billie Eilish announced a new album; it's be out in July, I believe. So, you know, I just see a lot of parallels there. I think
I see the parallels more with somebody like Kate Bush. I think.
Yeah. Sure.
In terms of the sort of pioneering, kind of not quite belonging to any one genre, constantly sort of just being so far outside of the genre that you kind of have to put them in pop because there's nowhere else that it makes sense for them to be. Like Enya's won 4 Academy or Grammys in the New Age category, even though she doesn't identify at all as a New Age artist. And I don't really think that is a good indicator of what she is. It's sort of similar to the categories that we try to put Kate Bush into. It just doesn't feel right because they're completely pioneering and there's nobody else. If somebody else sounds like them, it's because they've come after. And they're kind of following in the footsteps of that. And then also, you know, I really don't like the word recluse. I feel like it's used disproportionately against women.
Hold that thought. I think we're going to address that. We'll address that a bit later on. Essentially, what we're talking about here is that Enya's music, it's individual and it's essentially, it doesn't have a category. A New Age was a category. It was essentially probably adult contemporary in the 80s. It was light and airy.
Yeah.
It didn't have peers. She didn't have peers. So no one knew where to put it. So it just became this, I think the surprise is that it became so mainstream and so massive that, you know, that's the kind of shock of it all, though it actually does connect. Perfume genius Mike Hadrius said about Enya, there's something about Enya being so mainstream that it's really soothing to me. calling the times he would listen to her celestial sounds with his mother. Everyone knows who Enya is, but there's also this feeling that something that it's something spiritual and strange.
She's so synonymous with Ireland.
Yeah.
Outside of the country. I used to go out with somebody who wasn't Irish and who grew up in a different country. And he was saying that, I remember him saying before that, where he's from, when you think of Ireland, you don't think of St. Patrick's Day or Guinness or those things as much as you think of Enya. Like he was from Eastern Europe, and he was like, if someone says Ireland, it's Enya. And that is like the first thing. And she's so synonymous with our, because she does lean into, I suppose, what one could imagine like Celtic music sounds like, if there is such a thing. I think she probably just invented what that is, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it's time we talk to Brian Coney, who is obviously the editor of The Tin Ear, and just this week had an article in Vice called The Guide to Getting Into Enya, Patron Saint of Mystical Mood Music. So I think it's time we have a chat with him about three different sides of Enya's music. Brian, are you celebrating the birth week of Enya this week?
I have been. I've been listening to her a lot more, and I've seen features crop up all over the place, including old features by the likes of The Ringer and Pitchfork, which I think came out last year. And so she's been a bit omnipresent. I think she weirdly occupied that weird no man's land between being hugely popular and like also completely esoteric. And I think that's really hitting with younger people. Generation Z is definitely hitting with that. And I think people around more our age, in our 30s, 40s, we're starting to realise how good she actually was. So we're catching up a bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So with that in mind, you have put together The Guide to Getting Into Enya, the Patron Saint of Mystical Mood Music for Vice. And you identified three particular areas of interest in terms of Enya's music. So will we start a bit with the first one? Like, how do you kind of like, obviously, you know, it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek maybe, but like, you know, there is. So your first category is actually sublime, fantastical, new age, Enya.
Yes, that, I mean, having to decide on three categories for an artist who is so kind of tricky to describe beyond, you know, classic sort of, you know, new age and mystical and Celtic pop, it was quite difficult, actually. So this sublime, swirling, fantastical, new age Enya one was basically her best songs. That's basically what I've said. These are her 15 best tracks that, you know, may not be on a best of, or, you know, some of them probably are.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously it includes some absolute Enya bangers. Bodhichi. Actually, yeah, so Bodhichi is on there here. We're going to play. So let's start with Bodhichi. This is from her debut album. It's so dark and mysterious and full of wonder as well.
It really is. Enthralling.
Yeah. So as you can hear there, you know, this is her first album. This is a very kind of groundbreaking sound in lots of ways. It's very dark. Mm. It's very mysterious. It's very evocative. It's very current, isn't it?
It truly is. I think, I suppose a lot of us had that epiphany recognizing that, you know, it was used by the Fugees and Ready or Not, and actually trying to dislocate that wasn't that hard for me whenever I started getting into Enya, because it truly sounds like its own thing. It's really disembodied. And as you say, you know, there's a darkness there, I think, in the little bass intervals and how her harmonies clash with that. It's really, it's weird. And also I noticed actually whenever I was writing the piece, you know, I was listening to it a few times in loop, and it hit me that it's really just her humming throughout, but like on a totally transcendent sort of level, humming, peak humming.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the best humming song I can think of. I don't know how many of those there are. I mean, other than the Crash Test Dummies, I'm not going to go into that. But
that's for another episode.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And the other song that, you know, one of Enya's biggest hits, and we, as we discussed on the podcast, you know, it was used in different contexts around, first of all, around 9/11, but also a song that has had a new life on TikTok as well. This is Only Time.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I could have chose any number of tracks off that playlist in this first sort of category that, you know, are less known or whatever. But this really does epitomize both Enya's sound generally, but also her sort of ability to transcend generations. And like, even though the meme is funny, it is also kind of weirdly beautiful in its own way, because that, like, who can say where the road goes? There is an actual profundity to that, even if you are laughing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, isn't that the best kind of music, you know? Like, it has, it walks the line between something that is very close to being cheesy and, you know, and also not.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, mentioning Kate Bush in relation to Enya is kind of easy, of course, because they're both auteurs in their sort of pop field, but they have both occupied that world where, you know, you see Kate Bush memes pop up all over the place, you know, so it's usually Wuthering Heights, let's be honest, but, you know, it's still, you can still recognize the beauty in the music and also have a little sort of titter away to yourself.
So that's the main, like, those are the big hits. You've got the likes of, obviously, Orinoco Flow in there, you know, The Memory of Trees. Anywhere is a great song as well, isn't it? It's like, that's one that's been coming back to me a lot this week, I have to say.
Yeah, I think there's a strange, like, there's an interesting parallel between that and Only Time in terms of how the lyrics, which are obviously written by Roma Ryan, is basically saying you really make your own, you make your own fate in this life. And I really, really love that. It's sort of saying, you know, you can choose the path where you want to go, but it ultimately comes down to you. No one pushes you into the path. And that song is so beautiful. Anywhere it is just so, like, it's just such a wee bop. Like, I love it.
So the next facet of Enya you've talked about is the heady, mystical, Celtic pop Enya. And this is the one that maybe, you know, on the surface is, you know, what a lot of people internationally might associate. You know, the idea Celtic pop, this is what Enya does. This is what maybe, is this the most traditional sense of, in terms of music?
Yeah, I think so. You know, coming from her roots in Gweedore, obviously breaking off from Clannad and doing her solo thing, and her first actual sort of release being a soundtrack called to a BBC television show called The Celts. And, you know, she's deeply rooted in this whole sort of, you know, this world. I mean, this is her life. So she's not doing it to, like, you know, reflect a side of her. It is just a side of her. It's a major part of her.
So will we play Smeecha from Shepherd Moon? So that's a 1991 album.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, yeah. So let's play a bit of Smeecha.
Ne joram go
Yeah, I would say that kind of sound is very much typical of a lot of Irish traditional music, but maybe Enya has really helped popularize that actually more than I'm familiar with, you know what I mean? Because, you know, yeah. When you grow up around these kind of sounds, you're kind of like, oh, well, they're just there. But like, actually, the origin of that kind of modern take on that kind of music, where the modern production is on it and there's reverb and there's the multi-track vocals, especially when Enya is obviously a huge thing. And you can really hear that there as well. You know, they always seem to get it in a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting, because that's the sort of mental note that I'd made about this song. It's like, it's precariously close to a song that you'd hear in mass growing up, like, you know, while going up to get communion or, you know, Month's Mind or something. Yeah, it legitimizes it. It sort of, it brings it into like a sort of a secular world, and you realize that, that actual compositionally, it's quite simple, but the emotive power behind it is really strong.
Very good. Yeah, so let's play Deira on Tua from the Celts album from 1987. So, yeah, what you're hearing there is, you know, almost backwards vocals kind of vibe, like very, very on trend in terms of, you know, independent electronic ambient kind of music, you know. And that's why I think maybe Enya is chiming so much with people at the moment. And especially what we noticed is that it mostly seems to be American artists who seem to chime with Enya or her reference her. Do you see any true line in terms of the Irish musicians making music that you can kind of trace to Enya?
Well, I think, you know, it's, you know, FKA Twigs and Nicki Minaj, and you're right, they're all American. And I have thought about this, and whenever I was writing the Vice article, I was trying to trace it back to why isn't it, you know, artists from here that are name dropping? It's just, I guess we just take it for granted. It's, you know, it's not surprising. I think it's whenever a bigger artist mentions it, you're like, oh, wow, she actually has, you know, went across the Atlantic. And I suppose a lot of her success was there in a lot of the diaspora.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, maybe she's just so close to us in a way that we just kind of, yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. Yeah. So your final like facet, your final vibe, Enya vibe, is swirling dramatic Enya. Mm. So how would you characterize that?
Pretty much every song in this playlist, in this category, was either in a minor key or really staccato-y, crescendo-y sort of music, which is leading to like a real sort of dark and fateful climax. I think a lot of that's to do with the production by Nicky Ryan. His sort of, his guidance there, I'd say, was probably very instrumental. This is the one I would listen to most because... you know, it's sort of sound where you need to be in the right headspace for, but if when you are, it really hits.
Let's hear Las Sonadora from The Memory of Trees.
Oh,
That is very sleepy and somnambulist, very like sleepy vibes. I like that
a lot. This song, La Sonadora, is from The Memory of Trees in 95. And as you can hear, obviously, she's singing in Spanish. But lyrically, I love it because she's basically saying, I will be a wave, I will be the moon. She's sort of obsessed with, you know, the elements and planetary motion and stuff. And it really comes across so nicely in the song.
To hear Aniran then from... So what album is this from?
Aniran was written... specifically for Fellowship of the Ring.
I was wondering how much, you know, the idea that genres are mattering less to people these days and, you know, how we consume music. And, you know, you can hear, you know, you listen to something like Grimes and maybe her more ambient or like synth-like work like that. And, you know, you can hear some real parallels there. Mm-hmm. Do you hear any other parallels there with Enya that maybe has gone on into the wider world?
I think, well, in this song specifically, the fact that she's singing in an Elvish language that was created by J.R.R. Tolkien. So it's sort of like glossolalia. It's sort of, she's just sort of, it sounds like she's just singing notes, much like Cocteau Twins. And I think that's why a lot of people are jumping onto Cocteau Twins as well, because it's like, you know, Elizabeth Fraser's resonating with them. In a modern sense, I would love to hear more artists sort of not create their own languages, but lean harder into that. That would be really nice.
So other than the three playlists that you did, is there like, I mean, obviously they're a great place to start because they give you the multifaceted view of Enya's music. But if you were to pick an album, where would you suggest someone start?
I think Watermark is, you know, obviously known as being a real watermark in her career. Yeah. And it really is, you know, truly as an early sort of representation. But Shepherd Moons and A Day Without Rain, I would really, really recommend. And in terms of how they encapsulate just the general sort of facets of Enya's sound that she really, really epitomizes in those. And then A Day Without Rain in 2000 is amazing. I mean, that's her fifth album, and yet like she's ripping out the likes of Only Time. And
interestingly, I saw something online this week that was like talking about Shepherd Moon, and he was saying it's not even like that's like people always go on about My Bloody Valentine, Loveless has been the best Irish album of all time, the best ever. It's not even the best album of 1991. That's Shepherd Moon's from Enya.
Man, there might be a point there, actually. You know, If I could choose to listen to one right now after this call, it would be Shepherd Moon.
Okay, let's go listen to Shepherd Moon. Brian, thanks so much for chatting to us.
Having a stage name, does that allow you to be two people? Like, can you be Enya when you're out, and can you be Little Ethelney Brennan when you're at home?
No, it's usually Enya all the time. There's no two people for me.
Yeah. And what about all this biz now that we've been reading, that you're supposed to be a recluse who hides away out in Coolock and never comes out? That's not really you, is it?
It is, very much so. I mean, as far as working with music, my leisure would be sitting on my own in silence. That's how I would like to spend an afternoon, with a nice glass of dry white wine.
Stranger, my heart beats to find and stand in. thanks to Brian for the chat about Enya and the guide to getting into Enya. You can check out his article. We'll put it in the show notes and the Spotify playlist as well. Nice to have him on.
It's an excellent article. I highly, highly recommend reading it. It's brilliant.
Do have a look. And like one of the other things we haven't discussed, which especially we talked about with Irish people, like are so like familiar with Enya, is that her home is a castle in Killiney. You know, it is, she bought it for 2.7 million. It's if you look at it up, you can see it's very, it is very castle-like. You know, there's no getting around it. Like you can't deny this is like, this is the most castle house you've ever seen in your life. Yeah, it's very highly unusual. So she bought it in 1997 and renamed it Manderley Castle after the famous book Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. And the film you may have seen last year on Netflix, which wasn't very good, which starred...
Garbage film, bad film, good book.
Bad man, Armie Hammer. No. And was it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Different podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, this house is amazing.
Yeah, it's.
I think I've seen it from afar. I think
I've definitely walked past
the Killiney Walk. I think somebody had pointed to it and been like, "That's Enya's house," and I'm like, "Okay,
yeah,
that, it could be anything."
And but unfortunately, because of Enya's nature and because of the kind of person that she is and the kind of music that she makes, she has unfortunately had a lot of stalkers over the years who would show up at her house and stuff like that. Unfortunately, in 2012, she had a panic room installed in her house and then had to use it because somebody had broken in. And there's numerous examples of that where she has to be very safe secure in that house. So thoughts are with her for that because, you know, that's not easy to have people... trying to break into your house. But you know, one of the ideas of around Enya that's very dominant is that she's a reclusive, right? You know, that she stays in her house, in her castle, and never comes out. But that is just not true. Like, Enya does loads of promo.
On YouTube today watching loads of videos of her doing.
She was on Pat Kenny there a few years ago, and he was talking about walking by her house when in with his dog. She was on Japanese TV. She's all over the place. She's a very good artist for promotion. She always promotes her work. What she doesn't do,
I think the fact that she doesn't tour is what makes people think that she's reclusive.
Well, that's
she
it.
She doesn't go on the road.
That's it.
So people are like, oh, well, she must just like go and record her album and then go back to her castle, barricade herself in and live with her cats for 3 years. And I mean, if she does do that, that's fine. Yeah, I think the not touring thing and the, you know, she's not exactly on the cover doing a interview feature on all the Sunday papers when she releases a new album. Like, she's not doing the typical sort of
She does TV
album cycle
TV
promo,
mostly.
But she'll go on the Late Late or she'll have like a quite an in-depth interview. I get the impression that she only does interviews that she feels like she can. Like she's comfortable enough expressing herself, like she has the time that the person that she's talking to is going to get it right. She's not, I get the impression she's picky about the interviews that she does, and that's good.
Yeah.
I think everybody should be quite picky about the interviews that they do. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's, and also I do think that the recluse thing is just a shorthand way of saying that we're not getting, like, that she's not behaving like a good pop star, like a good woman in pop. And that's something that obviously Kate Bush has had to deal with as well. Mm. I feel like the word recluse being used against those two women tends to be used in quite a negative way as a criticism, and you know, like, oh, maybe they should be doing more and getting out and speaking more. Yeah, this, that, and the other.
They should be out there collaborating, and you know, whatever, you know, and that's not necessary. But I mean, one thing she did do, you know, you're talking about her doing lots of promo. She did a Reddit AMA 5 years ago.
She did. I was reading that. It was brilliant.
Yeah. And she does say really the castle, such a lovely, the castle kind of feels like it found me more than anything else. Like, it's fascinating to look at that as well, just to see all three of them, actually, Roma, Ryan, Nikki Ryan and Enya, do respond in that Reddit AMA. But yeah, she doesn't play live, right? And one of the reasons maybe why she doesn't play live is that because, yeah, it was at the time when it came out, it was kind of hard to replicate the layered, multi-layered vocals that she had going on in a live setting. There was technological limits in the 80s, and maybe she learned from that experience. As we mentioned earlier on, she was maybe quite nervous performer in the early days. And there is actually a video of her performing Orinoco Flow live in France in 1989, and it's not good. So I won't play it here because I don't think it's fair, but if you want to watch it, you can go watch it. Basically, you know, her vocal isn't up to scratch on the original. And I mean, you can imagine the more you can't really replicate those kind of big multi-layered vocals. It's unfortunate in a way that this version is up, because it basically shows you that, okay, you can see the limitations of what Enya's music is like live. She's not, as my friend who's a studio engineer was saying about the video, like, her mic technique is awful. he's like, she's not singing into the mic or anything. But yeah, I think that's the major thing. Like, there's very few artists who have managed to sustain a high level career like Enya's without touring live, and she has, and Kate Bush has, like you said.
I think she was asked in that AMA, it was really sweet. Somebody was like, why don't you sell t-shirts? I really want a t-shirt. And she was like, well, merch is kind of something that comes along with touring live, and I just haven't really toured that much, so just never made merch. And then about 10 comments underneath being like, please release t-shirts. Oh my God, please release t-shirts.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, she does things on her own terms, and, you know, she's managed to establish her own privacy as a kind of a personal achievement in the face of a very successful career, and to define that on her own terms. And I think that's.
And also, she doesn't need to tour. Like,
no, she doesn't. She doesn't. I mean, she's very well off
to fund albums. Like, yeah. she's done incredibly well for herself financially, not least because of that lawsuit against the Fugees that we'll probably talk about later.
We are, yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, I think it's time for some trivia, right? I think it's time for some trivia. So
do you want my fun facts?
I want to hear your fun facts, yeah.
Okay. Enya has a signed photo of Rachmaninoff in her home.
Very good.
That's really cool. I think that's awesome. She's sung in 10 languages over her career, including Quenya and Sindarin, which are both languages that were invented by Tolkien. Pope John Paul II was a big fan of hers.
Oh.
She's a Taurus. And you can tell I couldn't get many facts. And finally, according to her profile on sunsigns.org, she's reported to have said that she doesn't need a man. And those are all my fun facts about Enya. Thank you very much.
Very good. Yeah. It is. Yeah, because Enya has never married or had children. She's chosen music above all else, and is often asked about that. And she says, I'm single, yes, there have been relationships. It's quite hard to have someone accept that. Well, not that they are second to my music, but I do need a certain amount of space for it. And even though the person will understand that at the beginning, there's something like jealousy towards the music after a while. She sighs. It's difficult. Music is her number one. I have a few more facts. Did you know she turned down an offer to score Titanic?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. What instruments does Enya play? She plays the saxophone, the accordion, the tin whistle, and cello. A little bit of cello, she says, as per Reddit. Does she have any pets? No, she doesn't.
But three cats, I thought?
This is from the Reddit AMA. So
okay.
Does she have any pets? No, but maybe it's in, she has a house in France as well. So she may have cats in France. But in Dublin, apparently on the grounds, there are squirrels, but also they are grey squirrels, but they released recently red squirrels. So they stay on the ground, and the grounds are pretty busy. So Enya and her squirrels are hanging out.
Oh, that's so nice.
I love that.
How do I make that happen for me? How do I have this life?
There was a lovely question. I thought this was a lovely answer. Hi, Enya. Big fan. What would you consider your best work so far? And simply her response was, 8 albums. Also, Enya doesn't eat ice cream, just so you know.
She doesn't eat ice cream.
Yeah.
I wonder, because you know the way, like, she does live in Dublin, and one of the benefits of living in Dublin is kind of being central and being able to nip into town. Do you reckon she nips into town?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know what I'd do if I was walking out of Tower Records and I saw her walking in or something. Well, I don't know what I would do.
She, like, based on her clothing, she'd probably be going, where would she be going? Like, she'd probably be going to Asha more than she'd be going to Tower Records.
Asha. You know? Haven't heard that name in years. I don't know. I think she'd probably go in, have a single port, and then go home.
Yeah.
She'd like go by Eagle or something.
Yeah, she'd probably go to McCullough's. And so she doesn't eat ice cream, but she does have a planet named after her. Minor Planet 6433. In 2017, a new discovered species of fish was named after. It's called Leporinus Enye, found in the Orinoco River drainage area. Of course.
Aww.
Of course. In the 2016 Sunday Times Top 50 Music Millionaires of Britain, Ireland, she emerged as the richest female singer with a fortune of 91 million.
That's how you get those good red squirrels on your grounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's that 91 mil.
I did encounter a Belfast Telegraph article which had some funny lines in it. It was an interview with her about 5 years ago, and it says, one of the lines is, "The smile I had anticipated never quite reaches her lips, and from beneath her raven hair, she appraises me quizzically with Bambi eyes."
And apparently, I bet she loved that description.
Yeah, apparently,
reminds me of that description of Sally Rooney when some man was interviewing her, and he was like, he was basically like, "She's very good looking and looks like a doe."
Yeah,
and it's like, okay. Oh,
right. Okay. Apparently, she is a fan of both Green Day and P. Diddy, and it inspired her 2015 album. So, although the writer notes, I don't really hear that. But there you go. Obviously, yes, the big samples, the Fugees song is obviously one of the biggest and best used samples going, ready for Ready or Not. Let's play a bit of that, sure. Why not?
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk awake. Yeah. Those who correlate know the world ain't kick. Jail bars ain't gonna get.
Well, did you know, Andrea, that that song actually was not cleared as a sample in when it first appeared on the Fugees album? And
she sued them.
Yeah, well, here she is talking about that particular thing.
What had happened was just a call, and somebody mentioned, you know, that on the Fugees album there was Boadicea had been sampled. And at first, when you know you really are sort of in disbelief because you don't believe that they would do it so openly. But when I heard the album and I did hear Boadicea, I was quite disappointed because they had sampled quite a few songs and had credited the various people, and I'd asked and sought permission, but had not with me. So immediately the record company and the publishers just went to their record company and said, "We're going to pull the song," which entailed pulling the album. And at this stage, their manager had spoken to me and had said, I was kind of a bit worried because of the association with rap artists, and some of them get this sticker label or sort of bad language and contents of lyrics. And I was a little bit concerned about this for my fans, because they would have felt that I had consented to this. But then the manager, David Songberg, came and spoke and said that they were not of rap but of hip hop, and that they were trying to portray a different image and trying to say something that was quite different. So I listened, and then in the end I got very concerned for the group, because they had a number one album in the US charts, and I thought it'd be terrible that they'd have to pull the album out of the charts, out of the shops. So I said the song would stay in the album, but they had to put in an apology with their record. It has to be that that people just can't go and take music from somebody without permission.
It has to be, Andrea. It has to be, giving full parent-teacher vibes there.
Yeah, very much so.
Like an apology is needed. Yeah. It has to be.
The, the whole, oh, I had concerns about rap music, that that's kind of, it's dated a bit now, hasn't it?
It has a bit. It could be genuine. It could be genuine. You know, she may not allow cursing in her house or nearby. You never know. She doesn't curse in her music.
Those squirrels are on their best behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Other artists that have sampled Enya include Rihanna, who sampled her on her 2010 album Loud on a track called Fading, and also being sampled by the likes of Panda Bear, Bastille and Kate Tempest, Scooter, and who was the other artist I saw? Oh, D'Antwoord as well. So yeah, there's a few artists out there. So that's all of the facts that I have about Enya. She doesn't eat ice cream and she's got a planet named after her. Fair play.
Good on you, Enya. And Enya's a funny one. I've been really enjoying listening to her this week because I've never really done it, you know, like I've listened to, you know, the big hits and things, but I don't think I've ever put on an album, you know, and I've been doing that a little bit this week, and it's been really lovely actually to sort of connect with this music that is so, like I was saying earlier, so synonymous with our country, and she is one of our biggest cultural exports, if not our biggest cultural export.
Yeah, I mean, and influences around the world.
Yeah, you know, sold more records than Jesus. And it's really nice to sort of, I feel like for many years I had this sort of barrier up against Enya because I had a kind of a barrier up against sort of very Irish, what I considered at the time to be sort of Celtic mysticism music or something. I don't know what it was in my head. I convinced myself that I disliked it because it was a thing that it wasn't even, you know. And then I think as you get older, you realize Enya's class, and you kind of connect with it a bit more and connect with that pride of what she's doing kind of within her music for Ireland.
Yeah, and yeah. Go on, Enya.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But yeah, just as well, just as a woman who is so in control of her art and her voice and her career and isn't afraid to take risks, but also doesn't take needless risks either. She just seems like such a poised and considered artist. I think she's she'd be a good role model now for people, I'd say. In terms of she's an example of somebody who maintained the kind of creative control that many artists do fight for early on in their career, and she's a very good example of what can happen when record labels take a risk, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so you know, I mean, I hope in the same vein then Billie Eilish will continue to be allowed to create unfettered and without being told what to do.
I love this Enya Billie Eilish thing that you're just running with.
Why not? I wanted to bring
I'm not fully convinced by it, but yeah, I like,
but you can see some parallels.
I like that you are.
You can admit that you can see parallels there.
I can. Yeah.
And it just shows exactly that, you know, I mean, it's that the major label system isn't always the right way to go for a lot of artists. And if you can work and exist in that system and be in control, then you're going to do something very individual. And I think that's the thing. Enya is so individual. There's no other artist like her. Is there any other artist you can think of that sounds like Enya on a massive scale or is as popular? I don't think so. I don't think there's anyone like Enya in the world who has that kind of level of success and, you know, couldn't be on Lord of the Rings and also, you know, pop down to the shops in town and not be noticed. You know what I mean? And I think she said that herself, actually, that like she doesn't really get noticed in Ireland as much, which is interesting because, you know, we all know who she is. But yet again, maybe we're just,
I think it's because she doesn't walk around dressed like she's in the Scottish Widow advert and we sort of expect that she would, that she's walking around town in an emerald green cape.
Yes.
Kind of floating 2 inches off the ground and, you know, like birds are landing on her and tweeting around her and when really she's just a lady, like just going about her business and popping into Fallon and Byrne to get some seeds or whatever it is that she has
to get insurance too from Scottish widows or otherwise, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's it.
It could all happen. Well, look, that's great. I'm delighted we spent time with Enya this week and I hope you
Me
guys
too.
Enjoyed our We need to talk about Enya episode and
Thanks so much to Brian for coming on and chatting to us about how to get into Enya and all the different ways to get into Enya.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much. It's patreon.com/909 if you want to support us and join our Discord and get access to weekly Spotify playlists and everything else. And you're busy bee. You're a busy bee at the moment.
Busy bee, yeah. Andrea.cleary.ghost.io. It's an awful URL, so you can just go to my Twitter and click the link there. I've got stuff. I've got an interview with a cool artist coming out next week.
Great.
Who you probably know. Yeah, you see me around the place. I'm always at stuff.
All right, well, look, will we play a little bit of Enya before we go?
What we choose?
I was thinking of one of the more, you know, maybe esoteric songs, because like there's still more there. Would you like the more popular one, or would you like the esoteric one?
Oh, we never bend to the populist view of the day, do we, Niall?
You're getting fallen
please.
Embers from
lovely
from A Day Without Rain from 2000. This is Enya, and thanks very much, and goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Happy birthday, Enya.
Stars were falling embers once when night seemed forever.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.